good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is Thursday, 17 March 2022. We will be continuing from this book, The Wonderful Dhamma, Lotus Flower Sutta, Miao Fa Lian Hua Jing. We are at page 267 of the hard copy, volume 1. Just relax body and mind and maintain awareness and try to have a stable posture. We will have our usual awareness-based meditation, half an hour. So as far as posture is concerned, it can be any posture. You can be in a sitting posture or lying down posture or whatever posture that suits you. If you have problem with crossing your feet, you don't have to. You can just sit on a chair or a stool and relax, maintain awareness. That's what you need to do so that this awareness within your nature can become clear and stabilize it. Okay, we are off the light. Then you all can proceed with your awareness-based meditation. So remember the first three of the four support. For most people, these three is sufficient. First support is relax completely, body and mind. In Mandarin, they call it fang song, is be at ease, completely relaxed. Don't try to know, don't try to do anything, just silent. Maintain awareness. If thought arise, let it arise, never mind. You don't have to do anything. Then after that, maintain awareness, just aware. Whatever happened or arise within your form and mind, aware, finish. Don't follow. Don't go and create thinking. Just let things be. Then allow this awareness nature to stabilize. That is the third support. Then after that, if it has stabilized, then you can make use of it to meditate. To meditate is very simple. Do not arise the thought also. And you're silent, that silent, that nature can actually understand many things. It can observe without thought, without verbalization, without the interference of the thought process. It's the nature within that silent observe everything that is going on. Through this observation, you can understand clearly what happened within the moment. And through this understanding of what happened within the moment, you start to understand yourself. Who are you? What are you? What is this form and mind all about? How does thinking arise? And when thinking arise, how it affects you? How it condition you into negativity or various mind state to make you what you are. Observe this. See all this. Don't try to comment. Just observe. Then over time, you will understand. It's like you want to understand who or how your kid or baby. It's like if you silently observe the baby, then you will understand his naiveness, sincerity, and strange behavior. Because through that silent observation, you do not preempt through your views and opinion of what he is. So that silent observation is very important. But when you try to perceive him with your views, opinion, and conditioning, then you are not observing him anymore. That's why for parents, especially mother, who are very attentive or observant, then they will understand. They will be able to tell you a lot of things about that kid. Now, this kid is different, this kid is like that, that kid is different, that kid is like that. Because they saw what happened. They make mistakes, it's genuine mistake. Because when they are young, they don't have cunningness. They don't have delusion. They are just babies. They are very innocent. So meditation is to go back to that type of mind that is very innocent, that doesn't try to preempt anything or don't hold on to any views or opinion of things. It just observes, silently observes. Through the observation, you can see things as they are. You can understand many, many things. That's why when you are silent, observing, you sometimes can awaken the truth, or you can insight into phenomena and develop wisdom. You can understand the universal characteristics, anicca, dukkha, anatta. All this will become possible. But if your mind is not silent, if your mind is not in the state of awareness or sati or mindfulness, then you will think a lot. You will be actively commenting, chattering, verbalizing. So when you do that, you lost your ability to be aware, because man can only do one thing at a time. Either you are completely silent and aware within the moment to observe, to understand, or you are lost in thought, which means you are preoccupied with your thought process. So when you are preoccupied with what you are thinking, you cannot be aware. You become heedless. That's how the mundane mind distracts you. Then with its memory, that condition you into various belief systems, views, opinion, and conditioning. From there, you act. That's why you become very, very unnatural. Yours is a condition, action. Because of your views, opinion, conditioning in the system, you stir your mind, you react to what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, and what you tactile feel. Or even what you recall from memory. Because your views, opinion, and conditioning belief system make you do all those things. That is the way of the mundane mind, the thinking mind. It lacks wisdom, it lacks understanding. So this type of mind cannot live life. Not to say in the true sense cannot live life. You can still live life with that type of mind, but that type of mind is heedless thinking. That type of life is full of suffering and misery. So if you do not train your mind, develop heedfulness, mindfulness, and awareness, you cannot progress in meditation. You cannot develop the understanding. And through delusion, you will develop karmic negativity that leads to downfall. That's why your life become miserable. You constantly have to allow yourself to experience the negativity of karmic fortune. So if that is the case, then you have no control over your life. most of the time you are afflicted. Karmic conditioning keep on arising. And the way you live your life, like the Buddha said, you are born on your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned, supported by your karma. You are what you are because of your karma. So if there is not what you want, you better train your mind to be aware, develop the understanding. So when you meditate with awareness-based meditation, you will see the big transformation in you. Your mind does not think like before. It is more quiet, more peaceful, more relaxed and just aware, which means silent within, to experience the tranquility, the stillness, and the inner peace. So this is what meditation is all about. Then because you don't focus, you don't concentrate, there is no energy build-up. There is no what they call samatha focusing or concentration of mind. The mind that is in samadhi is not the one that is in concentration to one-pointedness or absorption. The samadhi that we talk about is the unwavering mind. Because it's unwavering, it's collected, it's composed, it's just aware, but it's a free mind. That's why there is the big difference. It's not a conditioned state where you force the mind to become quiet, peaceful, one-pointedness. So that kind of mind is not conducive for wisdom to arise. That type of mind develops psychic ability, focus and concentrate, and develop energy field. But if you know how to make use of this energy for health purpose or for whatever wholesome purpose, then it's okay. But most of the time, without wisdom, before you have the Dhamma understanding and the awakening and wisdom, you go into energy field, you will get yourself into trouble and tangle. So avoid doing that. You want to experience them for a while, okay, but after that, relax, come out of it. Yeah. Don't go too deep into it. If you go too deep, it becomes absorption, it becomes one-pointedness, apana samadhi. You should stop at upachara samadhi, means excess concentration, before you go into apana. Then initially, the training of the mind to be aware is to develop the moment-to-moment awareness until it becomes continuous. That's why in Pali, they call it kanika samadhi. Kanika means moment-to-moment. So this moment to moment, they are not stable unless you know how to relax and maintain awareness until there is the unbroken awareness, means the awareness become continuous. When you are continuously aware, there is no thought. Then you will experience the space within thought. That's how you are able to experience the true mind, the silent mind, the tranquility, the stillness, the inner peace, the inner awareness, but born of a free mind, not a mind in conditioned state, focusing, concentrating. So these are very important understanding. Okay, so now I will let you meditate on your own. Relax, maintain awareness for as long as you can, then silence everything. Don't try to know, don't try to do anything, just away, until that stillness arises. If you continuously aware, your thinking will slow down, then finally you will stop. During that moment, you can experience the tranquility and the stillness. It's so still and so tranquil. There is no activity at all, no sankara activity at all. Then whatever there remains later on also become very quiet. Initially, you may become more sensitive. You are able to actually be aware of your heartbeat, whatever vibration or pounding of your heartbeat. Never mind, let it be. So initially you will be very close, but it's okay. For some who use object of meditation like the breath, the breathing, you will be aware of the in and out breath. But as you develop more and more refined mindfulness of the in and out breath, your mindfulness become more and more refined until the breathing become very subtle, very short, like normal breathing. You are aware of your pulsation of the heart or any vibration within is the same. As you relax and maintain awareness, your nature will become more and more refined, quiet, still, until the activity become very, very quiet, very still. Then like your breathing will become very subtle, like no more breathing. Even your heartbeat, everything like become very quiet, very still. Observe that stillness, that silence. Then ask yourself later on when you come out of it, without thought, who are you? What are you? Through this inquiry, you will understand, because you experience it in the meditation, the direct knowledge and vision of what this thing is, not from what people tell you or from reading from other people's experience or the book. No need. Through this awareness-based meditation, you can understand clearly, directly. Okay, now I will set the 30 minutes of alarm. Then I will let you meditate on your own. Okay. Okay, you all can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed and trained for as long as you can. These are the mind state you need to live your life, to carry this meditative training into your daily life. We call it the daily mindfulness training. When your mind is fully aware, relaxed, peaceful, it is a meditative mind. The mind is most of the time silent, without chattering, without verbalization, with little or no thought. So you can maintain that type of mind means you are destined for enlightenment. Okay. You are turning to page 267 of this book, The Wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta, Myung Palin Watsi. And you will share from there. Okay. There were 8 dragon kings. This is the title. The dragon king Nanda, the dragon king Upananda, the dragon king Sakara, the dragon king Visukhi, the dragon king Pashaka, then dragon king Anavatapa, dragon king Manasvin, and dragon king Upalaka, and others, each with his retinue of several hundreds of thousands of followers. So just imagine when Sakyamuni Buddha was preaching this sutta, the wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta, Miao Falin Hoti, there were so many of these beings around, yeah, to listen. Then we will read the commentary so that you understand. Long ago, there were many dragons and everyone could see them. In the present day, however, they do not appear. Why? Because there are too many people and the dragons, out of fear, do not dare show themselves. Dragon belongs to the class of animals, but they are not like ordinary animals because they have spiritual powers of penetration. What spiritual penetration do they have? They can make themselves big and small. They can manifest so that people can see them. And they can also make themselves visible or invisible by means of the transformations of their spiritual penetration. And how did they become dragons? You shouldn't look down on them just because they are animals. For in previous life, dragons were people who cultivated the way. However, they were quick with the vehicle and slow with the precepts. That is, they cultivated the great vehicle practice with vigor, but neglect the precept. They cultivated the way with great intensity, but they did not keep the precept. So you understand the importance of precept. Huh? These people or beings which are born as dragons, they ignore the precepts, that's why they get into trouble. They did not sever their thoughts of desire, specifically thoughts of sexual desire, because they did not cut off their thoughts of desire. They did not keep the precepts. Thus, although they cultivated the way and worked very hard investigating the great vehicle Buddha Dharma, because they did not keep the precepts and were very negligent about them, they fall into rebirth in the bodies of dragons. On the one hand, because they didn't keep the precept, they were born in the bodies of dragons. On the other hand, because they cultivated the great vehicle and were very vigorous in cultivating the Buddha way, they obtained spiritual penetration, even though they were animals. I explained these principles when I lecture on the Surangama Sutta, but I was afraid you might have forgotten. And so I have repeated it. Quick with the vehicle, but slow with the precepts. They fall to rebirth in dragon bodies. So when it comes to cultivation, we have three things: sila, samadhi, and panya. Panya is wisdom, sila is morality, that's why precept is part of morality. You have to cultivate them together. If you neglect precept, it will give rise to a lot of karmic problem. Because when you break precepts, you commit evil. So this evil karmic friction actually can trigger off a lot of karmic obstruction and problem to the cultivator. That's why without sila, without precept, it's very difficult to progress along the way. Like I have explained earlier on, I think there was one sharing that I gave in Klang. I explained the importance of precepts and how from precepts the whole meditation comes about. So I remember it was at Brother Sia and Sister Nancy's house. They invited Kaya Mita over for house dana, and I gave the sharing that Nancy volunteered to do the transcript and the voice record. Understanding, I think, the teachings of the Buddha, something like that. So from there, you will have the understanding. How come meditator and cultivator must have the precept? Precept is very important. Without precepts, without sila, without morality, your mind cannot develop samadhi. The trained mind that is unwavering, collected. And that type of mind can meditate. But if you don't keep your precept, what happens? You will violate all the moral, ethics, code, and law. Like you start to kill and harm people, the first precept. Then you start to steal, misappropriate things that doesn't belong to you. Then you start to commit sexual misconduct. Then you start to lie, cheat, and take advantage of situation. Then finally, you partake intoxicant drugs and all those things that can cause your consciousness to be down. Then it will cause you what they call memory problem, or what they call your consciousness will be affected, especially when you're drunk. You lapse into unconscious moment. Then your mind, your consciousness is influenced by alcohol, by drugs. That it is not heedful, it's not mindful, it cannot have clarity, it cannot really observe precept and understand things. And because of that, it tend to make a lot of mistakes. So when you partake intoxicant, it will condition you into karmic negativity. You may end up breaking all the first four precepts. So when you break them, what happens is, especially you kill people, harm people, you will end up with the civil law, or what they call the police coming after you. Or you will attract a lot of people who wants to take revenge against you. So when you do that, you will not have peace. Then you will start to project your thought, have fear, worry, anxiety. Then you cannot be normal. You cannot be peaceful. So similarly, when you start to steal things, misappropriate things, CBT, become criminal, thief, and all those things, you will end up with a lot of situations where people can catch you, then they punish you, like snatch thief, all those things. It's not always a lucky day. Sometimes things can go wrong and you will be caught. Then when you are caught, there are laws to deal with it. So people who go through all this, they will have problems. Then when you steal from companies, when you steal from other people through corrupt practices, then you will end up having the law after you, then the MACC or the anti-corruption agency, they will come and investigate and give you a hell of a time. So all this lead to fear, worry, anxiety. Then sometimes when you are not so lucky, your activity become exposed. That's where you end up having a lot of mental issue and problem. The lack of peace, the fear, the worry, the anxiety make you miserable. Then you cannot meditate. So the third precept also saying you commit adultery, your whole family, harmony, love, everything get shattered because of the moment of what we call cheap thrill, the selfish thought that goes for all this activity. So when you deceive your spouse or your partner, or If you lack sincerity, you break that trust. It can bring about a lot of problems. And sometimes if they are married, not only the thing end up in hatred, envy, jealousy, and divorce, but if there are children, the children will be affected. Then the in-laws too will be affected. And all those that have a relationship or affinity with them, related to them, will be affected too. So it's never worth the while to commit all these things just because of short moments of cheap thrill and all these things. Then the fifth precept, of course, if you are not careful, you are not heedful, not mindful, not having the understanding, you indulge in intoxicant. Then you indulge in drug activity. All this can bring about downfall. Then having late nights, you are inviting trouble. So when your mind is affected by all this immoral activity, we are breaking of precepts, then it is always in the state of fear, stress, worry, anxiety, lack of peace. Then even the money you got out of such selfish act or deluded activity, like murdering people, committing a lot of crime things, stealing from people, all this, the law of karma will come after you. You reap what you sow. Do good because good, do evil because evil. Then you will end up becoming the victim. People will kill you, will harm you, will steal from you, misappropriate your thing. Or if you abuse people, scold people, do a lot of nasty thing to people, you reap what you sow. The condition will arise. People will do back the same thing to you. That's how coming. The law of karma takes its course, and the friction of it can give rise to a lot of problems. But if you keep your precepts, you don't have to worry about all these things. Your mind is always peaceful, quiet, tranquil. It will have that type of serenity that is seldom enjoyed by worldly people. So a person who keeps his precept has much, much less problem. And most of the time, if you keep your precept, you are avoiding evil. When you avoid evil, you protect others, you protect yourself. That's why it is a merit. Keeping precept is a meritorious action. You can abstain, you undertake the training rule to abstain from all this. It means you are cultivating mindfulness, awareness. To be aware of your thought process, your mental intention, your action, your speech, your livelihood, everything. So this understanding is very important. Then with a mind that has this ability to be aware, mindful, peaceful, tranquil, without all the fear, worry, anxiety, samadhi will kick in. Samadhi is a natural state of free mind that is in the state of awareness, because the mind is tranquil, peaceful, still, serene. That's why it can be stabilized and it can easily fall into place for the cultivator or the so-called practitioner or meditator to develop this stability of awareness leading to what they call heedfulness. Yeah. So the equanimous mind in samadhi can arise because they keep the precept. So sila, if you keep them well, it brings forth a lot of wholesomeness, benefits, merits. And because of that, the mind become different. So for samadhi to kick in, you must have precepts. That's why sila lead to samadhi. When you have samadhi, your mind can see things as they are. It is peaceful, tranquil, still, silent, just aware. That's why when it is in this state, the silent mind, which is the meditative mind, can be aware. When it can be aware, it can insight into phenomena and awaken. Because it can see things as they are, following the teaching, Buddha Dhamma. So when you see things as they are, you see truth, you see reality. That's why you awaken to the truth. You no longer get yourself deceived by the thought process, entangled by the deluded thinking mind. So all this are very important to understand. When you can understand all this, then you will know how to transform yourself, change your life. Instead of being heedless, you live a virtuous life. You determine to follow the advice of the Buddha to keep the precept. Because that is the only way you can avoid all evil, to take care of karma. When you keep your precept, you avoid evil, you take care of karma. Then you cultivate noble evil power factor. Right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. Followed by the four right effort to purify, to constantly improve. Then after that, you will develop the ability to live your life in accordance with the Dhamma way. That's why we have right in living. Then because you train your mind to be aware, to be mindful, you will have samasati, right mindfulness. And when you stabilize this sati or mindfulness, it becomes samadhi. Sati and samadhi will allow you to meditate, to see things as they are, to insight into phenomena and to awaken, to become enlightened. Then you develop the wisdom to understand life, to live life, to liberate your mind from all the entanglement in life. Then all the vulnerable truth can be understood and you can awaken to them. This is how you should develop the understanding to cultivate. And when you cultivate this way, following the advice of the Buddha, you become beautiful. You transform your life. Spiritually, you become different. Then your personality, your character, your understanding, everything transforms. And you become different from a heedless, deluded living being, sentient being. You transform to become a virtuous being that is heedful, mindful, and aware. And you can become a blessing to all. You will have the good life. You will get to experience all the wonderful moments and what they call pristine beauty of life and existence. So all these are very useful understanding so that you will not go the wrong way like most heedless people. You will not be conditioned by those who don't have the Dhamma. You will avoid the foolish, meet up with the wise, so that Nibbana or enlightenment in the here and the now can be realized as soon as possible. So all these are in the teaching. So this is hopefully can help you refresh your understanding so that you know how to cultivate. So always remember, Dhamma practice, cultivation of this Buddhist teaching, the Dhamma, is not to seek fantastic fantasy or mind state or meditative experience leading to special ability like psychic ability, or that is not the purpose of the Buddhist meditation. The Buddhist meditation is to develop understanding leading to awakening, which is the Buddha called enlightenment here and now. When you awaken, you have the wisdom, then you are free from suffering. That is more important than all the psychic ability and special ability. Even if you can read mind, so what? Even if you can have very special psychic ability to fly in the air, to levitate, to walk on water, so what? Does it change you? Does you become a better person? Can you be a blessing to all? Can you take care of your life? Can you be free from suffering? You can't. So keep this in mind so that you don't deviate. Okay, we continue our sharing. We go back to the page. So not keeping the precept is very dangerous. I think we are here. Okay, there are those who are quick with the precept but slow with the vehicle. This one also another problem. This one is the opposite of those that take birth in the dragon bodies. They keep the precept very sternly but are not vigorous in cultivating the great vehicle dhamma. Such cultivators are born as humans, as wealthy and honored people. This one is very interesting. You want to understand this, I think it's very easy. You understand the law of karma, you will know that those who keep the precepts, they have a lot of merits, a lot of wholesomeness. That's why they will be born wealthy and honored, because they don't simply do things. They keep their precept to avoid evil so that they do not harm others. And they also at the same time protect their own karma. So although they are very wealthy and honored, but because they didn't cultivate the great vehicle way, they are very stupid. So this word, I don't know why the Mayana like to word, use the word stupidity. But actually the correct word is deluded. Deluded means not knowing the truth, become entangled. So this part I think is very useful. But in the new version, they describe it differently. They keep the precept very sternly but are not vigorous in cultivating the great vehicle dhamma. Such cultivators are born as human, as wealthy and honored people. They are, however, not very bright. See? I think they take out the word stupid. Although they are very wealthy and honored, they are a bit dull-witted. This is better. The old version. Because they uphold the precepts very strictly, they are wealthy and honored. Yeah, this is true, law of karma. Yet they did not read or recite the Great Vehicle Sutra or investigate the Buddha Dharma, they lack wisdom. Thus, they are rather slow, not totally stupid, but not overly intelligent either. Others are quick with the vehicle and quick with the precept. This one is the best. While making the speedy progress in their cultivation of the great vehicle Buddha Dharma, they keep the precepts well. They are extremely dedicated in the investigation of the Buddha Dharma. Such people can perhaps certify to the fruits, means become enlightened. Or if they don't certify to the fruits, they can be reborn in the heavens and enjoy divine blessings. Still others are slow with the vehicle and with the precepts. This one is the worst. They don't cultivate the great vehicle Buddha Dharma and they don't keep the precept. All day long, they are lazy as can be. Some who have not left the home life do not investigate Buddhism or practice it, and are very lazy. There are even those who have left the home life who do not investigate the Buddha Dharma and are extremely lazy, means they are not worthy of offerings. In the morning, they sleep in until 10 o'clock. Then they rise, and at night, they retire early. So these are people who are lazy, sleep a lot. They say, though the sun has risen 300 feet, the monk is still not out. But scheming for name and fame is not as good as doing nothing. Oh, sorry. But scheming for name and fame is not as good as doing nothing. Oh, correct. It's the other way around. The sun is high in the sky, but the monk is still sound asleep in bed. But seeking for name and plotting for fame is not as good as just being lazy and not doing anything at all. So laziness is better by far. Because if you sleep, you don't create the heedless thinking of cunningness, coming negativity, arising the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion to actually cause harm to people. At least compare to this type of heedless people, sleeping is better in that sense. Lazy, they are slow with the vertical and with the precept. They don't keep the precept and they don't investigate the Buddha Dhamma. They claim to have left home. It's only in name because they don't actually cultivate. They don't work hard. They may be fond of sneaking off to take it easy. The minute there is work to do, they retreat. But if there is something good to eat, they are the first to sneak in a bite. They are good at eating but lazy in doing. In this way, they fall into the hell. They run off to the hells. So be careful. There, since they love to eat, they are free to eat from morning till night. What do they eat? Pails of hot iron. You would rather not work or study. You won't have to do anything there at all except undergo punishment. Perhaps you will be fried in oil, thrown into a mountain of nine on the salt trees, or into the cauldron of boiling oil. You can have a taste of that. Why? Because you are lazy. You will see if you are still lazy once you get there. This is what happened to people who neglect both the vehicle and the precepts. So this part, I think, you bear in mind. Never fall into hell. Now the hell rhyme is misery, really misery. In the Dharma Flower Sutra Assembly, there are 8 Dragon Kings present. There were also a great many smaller dragons. This reminds me of when I was in Manchuria. This is Master Chen Hua. My student Guo Shen, the disciple who set himself on fire, was quick with the vehicle and with the precept. He maintained the precept and cultivated the great vehicle, Buddha Dharma. He built a small glass hut, about 8 by 8. When he asked me to perform the opening ceremony called Opening the Light, I went with several of my disciples, Guo Neng, Guo Zi, Guo Zuo, this one. Zuo, and Guo Yi. That night, I stayed in the hut and 10 dragons came by asking Master Chen Hua to take refuge, or by asking to take refuge with the triple gem from Master Chen Hua. As the weather has been extremely hot and there hasn't been any rain for a long time, I asked the 10 dragons, the dragon are in charge of the rain. Why haven't you make it rain? And you want to take refuge? The dragon replied, before it can rain, we have to have an order from the king Sakra. That is Sakra Devanath Indra. Without his order, we wouldn't dare just casually make it rain. So I said to the dragon, you go and tell Sakra that I am asking for rain within the 30 mile radius of this heart. If you persuade Sakra to permit rain tomorrow, then the day after tomorrow, I shall transmit the three refuges to you and accept you as disciples of the Buddha. Sure enough, the next day it rained in, as a matter of fact, a radius of just 30 miles around the heart where I was standing. No rain fall outside the 30 miles radius. On the following day, I transmitted the refuge to the 10 dragon. After taking refuge, they began to cultivate. I gave the dragon the name Hari and cultivate. Now, this may sound like a myth, but in reality, there is nothing in the least mystical about it. It was my own personal experience. This thing do happen. You don't think it's very mystical or like fairy tale and all that thing. But it does happen. People who has this spiritual cultivation, they are able to actually cause these things to happen, to arise. Dragons can undergo an infinite variety of transformation by means of their spiritual penetration. There were 8 dragon kings present at the Dhamma Flower Sutta Assembly. Were 8 dragon kings. Now, this one is Vipina, Dragon King Nanda, Dragon King Upananda. The first was Nanda. Nanda is a Sanskrit word and means bliss. Upananda means wholesome bliss. These two dragon kings were brothers. In the past, they were very unruly. Later, they met and were tamed by Mongalana. Oh, this one I think very interesting. Now they have become Dhamma protectors who had come to the Dhamma Flower Assembly to listen to the Sutta. The two dragon brothers, bliss and wholesome bliss, guarded Mongalana. Oh, sorry. Guarded Magadha, regulating the wind and rain and ensuring good crops, benefiting the people greatly. Then there is this dragon king Sagara. Sagara means ocean. He is the dragon king who lives in the sea. Then dragon king Vasuki. Suki means many heads. A single dragon body, they have 9 heads, 12 heads, 15, 3 or 7 heads. Dragon king Tashaka. Tashaka means putting forth poison. He put forth many latent vapor. Dragon king Anavatapta. Anavatapta means no heat. Dragon king Manasvin means, the name means large body because he is very big. Then finally, Dragon King Upalaka, which means blue lotus, and others, each with his retinue of several hundreds of thousands of followers. Not only were these 8 Dragon Kings present, but there were also a lot more. Each Dragon King brought along a flock of dragon sons and dragon grandsons, a lot of little dragons, several hundreds of thousands of them in their train. Okay, then we continue. Sutta. There were 4 Kinara King. So after dragon is Kinara. Kinara King Dhamma, Kinara King Fine Dhamma, Kinara King Great Dhamma, and Kinara King Upholder of Dhamma. Each of them with his retinue of several hundreds of thousands of followers. So we go into the commentaries. There were 4 Kinara kings. not only were there dragons present in the assembly, but there were also Kinara kings. Kinara are one of the 8 classes of supernatural beings. The 8 classes of supernatural beings are the Devas, means the god, the dragons, the Yakas, the Gandhavas, or Gandhavas, the Asura, the Garudas, and the Mahoragas. Kinara means doubtful spirit because they resemble human beings, but they have a horn on their head. So Kinara are musicians in the court of the Jake Emperor. Kinara King Dhamma. There was a doubtful spirit called Dhamma, who has many Dhamma or methods of making music. Kinara King Fine Dhamma not only has many Dhamma and make music, but they are extremely fine. His music is such that it impresses all who hears it. Kinara King, the great Dhamma, and Kinara King, upholder of Dhamma. Kinara King, the great Dhamma, makes music of magnificent sound. His Dhamma is great, and so are the sound of his music. The music made by the doubtful spirit upholder of Dhamma delight people and inspire them to resolve to cultivate according to Dhamma. Fine Dhamma's music not only lead people to study and practice the Buddha Dhamma, but it also expresses the fine and subtle sound of Dhamma. The music made by great Dhamma expresses the greatness and expansiveness of the Buddha Dhamma. Upholder of Dhamma's music is not only delightful to hear, it also makes people want to cultivate according to the Dhamma, to receive and uphold the Dhamma. Each with his retinue of several hundreds of thousands of followers, his Kinara King was accompanied by a lot of followers, several hundreds and several thousands, or perhaps several tens of thousands of them in their train. Then the next part of the sutra is, I think we stop here, Gandhavas. So these are all the king came with their subject. So okay, we stop here, page 274. Okay, then now we can have a second session, which is meditation reporting.
Okay, maybe I'll just share some life experience.
Okay, that will be good.
Maybe Gratio can give me some advice also.
Can no problem.
So before the Chinese New Year, some authority doing the upgrading works for the drainage at my mother-in-law's house.
Okay
So they actually quite a massive one. They really did the whole thing. And then we found out that actually the water was cut. The water supplies were cut. So later on we came to know that it's because of the work that going on, you know, that interrupt our water supply. My mother-in-law's house water supply. So and there was one day I managed to see the. So it happened that I went to market on Saturday. I saw the manager. So he parked the car just right in front of my mother-in-law's house. So I told him the problem. So which he promised that they will look into it lah, because we got the plumber, our own plumber, to come in. After that, but because it's not our house problem, it's because of their work that affect the water supply. So I spoke to him the problem, and which he promised that they will look into it and then help us to sort out the problem. So that day, and he said he will get the workers to check for us. But I think that Saturday anyway, we left the house and then we asked her to do it now because somebody is in the house.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
After that, then they didn't come. They didn't come in.
Oh, okay. They didn't turn up, yeah.
They didn't turn up, and then after waited for a few days, I think it's they also never bothered to check for us.
Oh, okay.
So after that, I think there was just before the Chinese New Year Eve.
Oh, okay.
That New Year Eve, so I saw them. I heard somebody talking outside the house.
Hmm.
So I opened the window. I saw all these contractors talking there.
Mm-hmm.
So I reminded them, hey, hello. I say, this problem, you have to look into it because that really causes a lot of inconvenience in the house, you know.
Yeah.
And then some more Chinese New Year, I talked to them very nicely.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I say, because of your work that really disturb the supply, you know.
Oh, okay.
So then they say, okay. After that, that was New Year Eve, you know.
Oh.
So they say, okay, after I check for you. So they came in because we were around there. So we make sure that they came into the house.
Yeah.
So they checked. After that, they tested lah. And then we saw the water back to the water supply resume, you know.
Came back. Huh?
So after that, then they check. Then they I don't know what they are doing. Then after that, then they say they request me for money.
Oh, okay, payment.
So they say they want $200.
Oh, okay.
I say $200. You cause all the troubles, all the inconvenience.
Yeah, all the disruption.
Long already, you know, because of your work here. So I say, we don't mind to blunder you minimum lah, you know.
Yeah.
So to me, I think 200 is a bit
too much. Yeah, expensive. Yeah.
And these people, they make us run. They just trying to be funny lah, you know.
Oh.
So giving all the excuses and then check here, check there. And then another, we knew the problem, and then we knew that also because they won the $200, because another workers also came in, they also mentioned that they won $200, you know. So obviously they want money. So I think they are a bit too much, you know.
But how many houses were affected?
Only my mother-in-law's in-law.
Cannot be. Yes, something is wrong.
No, because the piping, at first it was disconnected.
Because the piping inside your mother-in-law house, they cannot come in and disconnect. There must be a main.
No, at first they checked. They said
supply water to that whole area.
No, because they say actually because the direct water got ready, so this piping is actually connect to the toilet. This piping is running outside the house. So when they did the drain work, so it affected the piping lah. I think because
this your house has direct supply.
Direct supply got already, but the piping that connect to the toilet is a separate piping. Because the piping running outside. It's a separate piping.
Never mind, you continue. Yeah.
So both also they came in, they mentioned they want money, you know. So which I find that is a bit too much lah, you know. So which that causes a lot of inconvenience already in the first place. I told them, I said now it's Chinese New Year. you just do the work for us, lah, you know. So at the end, they just did not want to connect back for us. So so we also because I think it's not the money that is because, you know, I think if we I mean with this kind of attitude, I think they are foreign workers, you know. So I think it's a bit too much really, you know.
But in the first place, what did they do? I can't really visualize what
because actually the end lot, the site, the drainage, they changed the upgrading work.
Yeah, the drain, is it? The drain,
yes,
right?
Yes, the whole thing, yeah.
Yeah, so that one won't affect your house.
It's quite a major one because the piping is laid just beside the house.
But they cannot encroach into your house, right?
They did the work and then they affected the piping outside. So that's why the water cannot come in. That one is for the toilet supply, lah. The direct
The toilet supply actually come from the direct supply, go to the tanki. Then the tanki only flow down to the toilet.
Yes, direct.
It's not a separate line.
Actually, for this house, I think when they did the renovation, they did it separately. So that's why the water, there's another piping that went through the house, outside the house, went along the house, you know. So it's just outside the,
You cannot have two tapping on. The water won't allow one. Bekla Ayo won't allow you to do that one. But now mind, to cut the story short, what actually happened after that?
So after that, I don't agree with them now with this kind of attitude, you know.
That one, never mind. After that,
so,
did you resolve it?
We did not resolve it. So
then what happened?
Because they insist to have the $200, obviously. So I didn't.
I know. Ignore that part, Elsie. Ignore that part, the money part. Ignore. What finally happened?
Finally, because they make us round and now to check this, to check that, you know. So at the end, wasted few hours time there. So we knew the problem, but they just don't want to get the water back for us. They just don't want to reconnect back for us. So they just giving excuses that is the problem inside the stock car, all that. So they asked us to change the stop cock. So I actually, because before that morning or so, I saw water supply coming in. So, and then after that, they tried to be funny because they want money. So they want us to pay them the money. Then only they reconnect.
Yeah, ignore that part. Ignore. What I want to know is, does it get resolved or what?
No. Because we didn't pay them money, so that's why they didn't get.
Never mind. Then what happened? They left.
So after a few hours, we spent a few hours to check. They check around, check here, check there, you know. They pretend to check here, to check there, up there, the water tank. So after that, we just ignore it.
Yeah, lah. Finally, what happened? They left or what?
We left, not they left lah.
Then
because
your mother-in-law, what
there,
does your mother-in-law do?
They are still working there. Sorry?
What does your mother-in-law do then?
So nothing lah, because there's no water supply lah.
Cannot be, you said got direct water supply.
Direct water, there is supply. Only thing, there's no supply to the toilet.
It's a very weird situation. I worked in waterworks before. I understand waterworks rules. Every house there is one tapping from the main come in. So that tapping will go to your kitchen direct supply, then it will go up to the tanki. Then the tanki got the ball valve to control. Then from the tanki, all the water goes down to your toilet and all those things.
Correct. So actually there are two piping. One is direct supply. This one actually also going up to the water tank, then come down. But this one is a separate piping. They run two different piping.
This one you need to maybe call out water work, but next I don't deal with those contractor outside doing your work, because your piping should be inside your house. Then if any issue with water, no supply, you call out water work, they will come and check. If it's before the meter, they have to repair for you. After the meter, you have to sort out yourself. So in your case, I suspect that pipe that goes up to your tangki, yeah, and the pipe that come down, there is airlock. Airlock. Airlock.
No, it's not. It's not. Only thing because they we knew actually they can simply just reconnect back the piping for us, but they just refused to do it just because we didn't. Just because they request the money.
Yeah, forget about the payment part, Elsie. Forget about the payment part. If you know there is a reconnection, then get somebody else to do it. Because you know they are foreign worker and you don't want to pay, it's okay, because that is your decision. But more important thing is to resolve it. Otherwise, you spend so many hours and the thing don't get resolved. Then it's hanging.
That's because actually we got the plumber. Our own plumber, because this one they say is outside connected, is outside so they can't do it because
it is outside your house, it's waterworks problem. You call waterworks, they will come very fast. They will have to sort it out to you, even if contractor damage or what, they have to repair for you. Yeah, it's outside your boundary. Waterworks has a rule. Before meter, outside your boundary, they are responsible. After the meter, they are not responsible. That is inside your house. Never mind, Elsie, just let things be. After all, by now, I think it should be resolved. Isn't it? So long.
So actually, if you want to sort out things easy, just want to make things easier, so we just pay the 200. We refuse to pay the 200 lah, but that also
no, it's okay, it's okay. That one is your choice, your decision, like SLC. Finally, how you resolve it is very important, because life is to be lived. We have to live our life. We have to understand that in life, there are a lot of things or situations that can arise. You meet up with people whom you don't like, or difficult people, like in this case or what. Maybe they have their reason, but we have to accept them for what they are. Then after that, you act. Act means what? Resolve the problem and move on. Don't cling on to the problem and keep on letting it affect you mentally. Because New Year until now already how many months?
No. After that, then later on, we would rather get our own plumber to do
yeah
it
la,
than
it
paying the $200 to the contractors. You
yeah
know?
La, resolve it, that's what I say. But if you have the understanding, whatever piping outside your house, your boundary, or before the meter, water will come and do it for you free. So next time, understand that and remember to call the Kalaaya. Your water bill there is a number to call, and they respond very fast, the Kalaaya. Because they have contractors who are standby to do all this. Last time I called before, because outside, I think before the meter, I forgot what's the reason. There was some problem. I think the ferro tapping there leaked, or I don't know what. And they come, they replace it very fast. Then they also have, I think at one time, they need to change the pipe. Because these pipes are too long, the GI sometimes is rusty, then it clogged up. So the pressure low, then they come and replace the whole thing and do the ferro tapping. And I witnessed the thing, I saw them do. And of course, we thank them. Then they are very fast, very fast. So sometimes you can call the chi to the new meter. And a lot of short lot they do it because the new meter together with the new piping can allow the water to flow through much quicker and with better pressure. Sometimes a lot of this OGI pipe, the rust or the scale inside there, they constrict the diameter and your pressure become like very low, and sometimes it cannot reach the top floor. So all this is water supply issue. So you have to understand. You talk to them, you call them, they come, they will know how to solve for you. It's their duty to give you that pressure to reach your tanki and have the extra pressure of about 15 to 20 feet pressure. Otherwise, during peak hour, you will not get water. So the extra residual pressure is to give you water even during peak hour, so that at least the direct supply you have the water. Unless there's a disruption somewhere or pipe burst, then they have to cut supply, then you have to wait for the connection to get back the supply. But most of the time water works are very efficient, the downtime is very low. So apart from this, what else? Elsie, what else you want to ask? Any question or share any other things? The Dhamma, the cultivation.
Yeah, good evening, everyone.
Yeah.
I was supposed to went for the cell retreat last week.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, what happened was that I found I was infected with COVID.
Oh, so you cannot go.
Yeah, I can't go, see. So and it's quite strange because I really can't trace where I got it, you see.
Oh, okay, never mind. Anyway, you quarantine yourself, huh?
Yeah. It was really not easy, you see.
Oh.
Yeah. So it was very, very tired.
Oh yeah. A lot of people experience that. Sore throat, tired, fever, and all those things.
So but luckily, you know, I got treated, and then you know, my sister turned to take care of me, is it?
Ah yeah, last time you take care of her.
So really I realized that, you know, it requires a lot of like support, is it?
Especially when you are down with COVID, you cannot go out. So because of that, you need people to actually give you the support, buy you the food and all this thing or whatever you need.
Yeah, and it was actually lasted for about a week, you see.
So long already, huh?
So yeah, but now is I consider myself is like fully recovered, is it?
Oh, good.
yeah. So
in fact, recently a lot of people got COVID. I got one classmate also. He called me today. Is it? He was down with COVID for the last 5 or 6 days. I heard from Alastair, my brother, two of my brother and their family member, they also down with COVID, and my sister also. It's recently, they never kena before, only recently. So you have to be careful.
It's very highly contagious.
Yeah, very contagious, must be. Otherwise, it wouldn't be suddenly happening to so many people. But most of them are mild or asymptomatic.
And what I realized during the when I was sick, you see, I realized that, I mean, it's not easy to cultivate when you are, you know.
Yeah.
So really, I mean, cultivation requires a lot of good karma.
Yeah.
Good karma, as it's like, you know, when you are still physically okay.
Ah, when you still have the health, that is very important.
Yes. Because if not, you see, most of your energy will just, you know, be drained out, you know.
Yeah.
At times, so serious. I mean, I really reflected. I say that, you know, luckily I'm still okay in the age time, you see.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine that, you know, for those people that have serious illness or, you know, cancer or anything, that, you know, and they are just pro, you know, those physically and mentally they are in the suffer, not like COVID, you can, you know, luckily like 1 week or plus,
not that long,
but for those illnesses that, you know,
very traumatic, life and death,
those really, you see, you require a lot of strength, you see, and mental strength and the physical strength.
Yes. To fight it.
Yes.
Yes.
So I say that, you know, really, you see, we cannot wait, you see.
Now you start to appreciate when you are still young, healthy, you should strive on with heedfulness to develop the cultivation, so that when you confront the realities of life and existence, the first noble truth reality, you already have the Dhamma to actually enable you to understand what is going on, then apply the Dhamma to actually mitigate the whatever problem or situation. Because like I used to share with you all in the past, when you are sick, that is the best time to check. Because like the Buddha say, the first noble truth of dukkha is to be understood under the first turning of the first noble truth. So how can you understand it? It's when you are confronted with the sickness and the disease. Even COVID also say that, you say, you feel tired, then you have other problems, you need support and all those things. But check the mind. Why did the mind say you feel tired? Is it you who is tired? And this Dhamma is very important. We are the first number two reality, like the Buddha said, birth, old age, sickness and death. So this is sickness, disease. Why he say it's suffering? Where you attach, you cling, you think you are sick. But not to say by not thinking you are not sick. No, the disease is a reality, is a condition. That's why the Buddha say not only you subject to this reality of disease and sickness. Everybody who live life long enough will experience them. So when you have to confront them, experience them, you need to develop the Dhamma understanding to accept the reality. With this body is just a body, not you, the four elements. It goes the way of nature. So when there is disease or sickness, you need to endure, you need to endure. Then you need to seek medical treatment or help or advice. You seek. You do what you have to do to resolve this thing amicably so that you can recover. So this is what the teaching is all about. Not to become miserable over it, lament over it. But what you have come to realize is also very good. It gives you the urgency to cultivate, to strive on, so that you appreciate while you're still young, you still have the help, the opportunity and the condition. That's the reason why the Buddha told the monk before his parinibbana, apamadena sampadeta. He asked them to strive on with heedfulness. Be heedful. Do not be heedless. So all this understanding is how you apply the teaching. And when you apply the teaching, you become different. You become different. So can understand this part or not, you know, this part will help you. Because when your body is sick, do not allow your mind also to be sick. You silence everything, develop awareness and experience it. Then you check what actually is disease and sickness. Why did the Buddha say without the Dhamma understanding, it will lead to dukkha, suffering, mental suffering, misery, as all those things. Then like you say, luckily it's only COVID, short term, no complication. That's why you don't have to endure your whole life. Not like people with traumatic disease. They have to actually see the thing through, especially cancer and stroke and all those heart disease and or a lot of other very traumatic type of disease. So we should actually thank our good karma for giving us the good condition, the good understanding and the help to be what we are. Then when condition changes, when we experience the first noble true reality, it is time for us to make use of it, to develop the first turning. This noble truth or dukkha is to be understood. How can we, the second turning or the first noble truth, how can we understand it? It's only when we are hit by it, afflicted by it, or when we go through that sickness and disease thing. And then you silence your mind through the awareness, find out who is sick, what is sick, whether the Buddha's advice is true or not, when the body is sick. Do not allow your mind also to be sick. Then you will come to know it's just the fact of consciousness that condition you to cling, to grasp, to hold, and you become unhappy, miserable. But when you have the Dhamma, you can endure and you can still smile because the body is just a body. You go the way of nature. But I always say, there are only two things you can do. Accept the reality, endure, and move on. And do what you have to do. The other alternative is complain, lament, and become miserable always. And then, not only body is sick, your mind also doubly sick. And you become miserable, mentally afflicted. So without Dhamma, you will act foolishly, heedlessly. With Dhamma, you can be at peace, actually. No matter how serious that disease may be. And you will understand a lot of things after you recover from that sickness and disease. That's why in the early day of my cultivation, whenever I fall sick in whatever manner, or even I injured my whatever leg or hand, I actually reflected, contemplate, and I see, observe. Then I understand. That's why I still can have joy, and I still can have gratitude. To thank the Buddha for giving me this understanding so that I know how to confront it. I know how to be at peace with it. Then I know how to resolve it amicably and do what I have to do. And sometimes I apply the Dhamma, I invoke power of merit for causing condition or turn around. Then if I know it's from the past coming, I will ask for forgiveness and all those things. Otherwise, there is no way you can clear it. So all this understanding will become very useful, very appropriate. Okay, you know?
Yeah, true. And I also noticed one thing is that, you know, when the body get recover, I noticed that the craving forces start to come out again.
Definitely, yeah. We already miss all this opportunity to have all those good food. So the memory will come back and you would like to taste something more pleasant, more suitable for your taste bud and all those things. And this is what human being is all about. Life. We need to live life. So to live life, there are certain things that we have preference or like But it's not called craving. Craving is different. Craving means when there is no condition, also you desire it, you want it. But when you recover already, you look forward to have it. It's not a craving. Craving means you cannot have it and yet you want to have it. And that is craving. Yeah. But when you know there is condition for you to have it, where you have recovered and now you can eat, that is not craving. That is your body's preference, your need. Mm. But most people don't understand. It's just like they say, good food cannot eat. Good food is craving. If you don't understand, of course, you will classify it as that way. They say you like good food means you have craving for food. No, if there is condition for the food to be around and it so happens you have that liking and preference, you have the means to have it or order it, by all means, go ahead, but do not overeat. Do not like become an attachment. When there is no condition to have, also you want to have it. And that one is craving. So the line between needs, preference, and craving is very thin. If you don't have the Dhamma wisdom, you cannot understand. So all this is what Dhamma is all about. You need to actually go through, train yourself to develop the understanding. It's not like what we call rigid rules, where you simply through whatever knowledge you have been told or conditioned into, then believe that that is what craving is all about. No, you have to identify all this, then investigate and find out. Because craving is very different. Craving leads to suffering. That's why the cause of arising or dukkha is craving. But if it's a need, it's not a craving, it doesn't lead to suffering. Means, got condition to have, I have. No condition, never mind, it's okay. That is Dhamma, that is wisdom, that is understanding. Then you know how to accord and flow, and you know your body. That's why you will not go beyond the need. Otherwise, it will make you miserable, especially people who don't take care of their health. They become like, they overeat, then become obese. Then they overexert their body, they harm their body. So all this is what Dhamma is all about. When you have developed the wisdom, the understanding, you know how to adjust accordingly. Then you can see your mind very clearly. The mind's movement, the wisdom that allow you to act in certain way. So acting according to the wisdom way or the Dhamma way is different from acting according to memory, which is based on our craving, our conditioning, our belief system. So all this is world apart. That's why the Dhamma cultivation is a very fine and thin line on how to understand life and live life. So unless you have the stability or understanding, you don't know how to actually adjust and develop the understanding. It's not to follow certain instruction and become rigid. No. That's the reason why I always share with you, or whatever that is rigid, the Dhamma is not there. The Dhamma is there when there is understanding to accord and flow. Condition like that, things will like that. Your condition changes. Everything is in a state of flux. It's not what you think. Conditions, situation, living beings, sentient beings, they are all different. Their karmic background, their conditioning is all different. And because of that, the interaction of karmic causes and nature's law need to be understood. That's why the three right view has to be there. And you need the Dhamma to help you understand all this and mitigate whatever that life offer to us. Mm-hmm. Okay, you know?
Yeah. Actually, it's not, maybe I'm using the wrong words, is it? It's just that, you know, when I recovered, the moment I recovered, I can notice the mind state and the physical.
Yeah, that one is very important. That one is part of cultivation. Your awareness is there, your mindfulness is there. Then there is this preference. You want to have those food. It's okay. It's not a craving. Because yeah, now you have recovered. There is condition already. That's why I want you to understand that part.
Yeah,
most people use the word craving come back. Huh? Especially they go for retreat. Yeah? Before the retreat and hour, oh, they think of char kway teow already. They think of supper and all those things already. But if you go and project your thought and develop all this heedless thinking, of course. But if you have the understanding, then you will not do all this. But you know retreat is coming to an end. After the retreat, you can do what you want to do. Then if you have preference for certain type of food, go for it. But if there is no condition, never mind. Like the shop closed already, it's okay. Accept it. Then go home. Then the next day, maybe you can look for it again. If you have the appetite, why not? If you have the means, why not? So all these are understanding. You will not end up like becoming affected by the desire to have the craving and all those things. So you should develop the understanding, as you know. So now, like you say, you, maybe you use the wrong word. When you are more mindful, you will understand better. The difference between craving, need, is the line very thin.
Yeah, so what I'm trying to say is like this time, I can notice the difference, you see.
That's good.
You know, yeah. The mental state changes.
Yeah,
you
know,
followed
you
by
that. You realize you are more contemplative already.
Yeah.
You are able to reflect on a lot of things already, not like before. Before you recover, you become the old Jin Hao again. You go about the other. But now you start to develop appreciative understanding, the urgency of practice and all those things. Just you have reflected, you have contemplated, and you now experience with understanding. That's how you see all the danger of not making use of the condition and opportunity when you are still young, when you have the condition, the health and all those things. So all this become your very good understanding that you can advise the younger generation. Don't wait until it's too late. There are a lot of people who procrastinate the word meditation, Dhamma, not now, wait till I retire, or wait till my children all go out, graduate ready, then maybe I will go for retreat. So all these are what your thought tell you. That's why if you don't see the importance, you will create this type of thinking. You procrastinate, give reason, justify, and you will try not to do. Then you don't see the danger. You don't see the importance of this cultivation. Like when I was young, I knew all this. That's why I go all out when I was 70 years old. Yes, if this is not something that I can develop and understand, I will suffer in this world. My nature knew. That's why I go all out to cultivate this teaching and to develop the faith, the understanding. Good. Continue, you know.
Yeah. So I just want to share with everyone that say well, just still have to be cautious when you're going out.
Yeah, yeah. Mask, put on the mask. Don't go. Now the transmission is very fast.
Yeah, but even if you got it, it's not end of the world. Okay.
Yeah.
But one thing is now, that you just need to take more rest.
Yeah. Now the risk is very low. According to latest statistic, I think from the health ministry, 99.3 is category 1 and 2, the new cases. Now it's getting less than 0.7%, the category 3, 4, and 5. Means the probability of severe sickness is less now, much, much less now.
Yeah, correct. And a lot of cases are actually you can't trace, you see.
Yeah.
You can't trace how
it happened too fast.
So, it was a very good sort of like home retreat.
Instead of attending the retreat, you have your own self retreat.
And what I also noticed that, you know, I just accept it, you see.
That one is very important. That one can free your mind straight away.
All right.
Yeah.
I wouldn't sort of like asking myself why this and why that. I say, you know, if it's fated, it's fated. I say accept it. And then there must be a reason behind. I say it doesn't matter.
And condition behind.
I say it doesn't matter. I'll just accept it and then just go according to the causes and conditions.
Accord and flow and do what you have to do, then resolve it.
It was actually a very good reflection, actually.
Yeah.
So it is pushed me the urgency to say that, you know.
Yeah.
Really, when the physical is still good, the times
we have to. Then your health is still there, when you are physically healthy. And you are still able to have the movement to cultivate the activity. That should be the time. Not until when you are too old.
Yes.
And the body, too weak to reach out, to do anything. Then the time you want to cultivate also very difficult.
Seriously, I mean, it really, really requires strength and the physical strength and the mental strength.
Yeah. Support. Like my teacher Ajay Yantra shared this thing when I met him in 1986-87. He said, body is only a body, mind is mind. Mind never the body, body never the mind. But we choose to care mind, your mind more important. Then finally he said, body important too. Why? Because to cultivate, the body and mind must harmonize. You understand that word. Body and mind must harmonize. Means what? You must have a relatively healthy body or a body that can still sustain the practice and help you to cultivate. That's why these two things, both are needed. The mind that has the understanding need the support of the body. That's why there must be harmony. So if you are afflicted by too much mental problem or physical problem or health problem, then it will hinder your cultivation. A lot of things become no more possible. So all these are good understanding. That's why when he mentioned that, I rejoice at that time. Body is just a body, but important too, where the two must harmonize. That's why we must take care of our health, take care of our physical body. Then allow the body to have enough rest. Do not overuse it. Then maintain a healthy body to supplement our cultivation, to help out in our cultivation. And this is very important. So good. Thank you, Jinhao, for coming out with a good condition for all this Dhamma sharing to be possible. Sadhu.
Sadhu, I think my sharing is all for today, is it?
Oh, okay. Okay, so we all rejoice with what has been shared, even Elsie earlier on. Okay. Sadhu. Sadhu.